I don't believe it changed their win total. No.
Okay.
Because, I mean, those are very hard to move, weirdly. Like, once you get this close to the season, like that number, the market feels pretty good about where it's at. It feels like only a quarterback trade will move a win total like that these days.
Just to round out the top 10 here, we mentioned six is Detroit. This is the Athletics NFL Power Rankings with the season starting tomorrow. Seven, the Commanders. Eight, the Texans. John, nine, this one surprised me. The Cincinnati Bengals have moved up from 12 to nine after getting Hendrickson his new deal. That still feels a little high to me, even with Hendrickson in camp. We saw that defense had Hendrickson last year. He led the league in sacks. They were still terrible. And then the Minnesota Vikings are round out the top 10.
Right. Sounds about right. I mean, I think, the Vikings are an interesting case study. We don't know anything about JJ McCarthy. But either way, it's in that division. There's no breaks, man. So, it's gonna be a fun year for you and Brad. You and Brad, man.
Bear
In this
down.
thing together.
Bear down. Got JJ
So.
McCarthy at the house next on Monday night. So should be a good way to
Yep.
start the year.
All right, we'll come back. Norton heard the four's going to join us. We'll talk to him about the Memphis Arkansas series, Calipari, Memphis basketball. Lots more to come. Stick around, Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is the best in Memphis. I got a guy, a real good friend of mine that used to live in Memphis, now doesn't live in Memphis, but he wants to buy some investment properties in Memphis, and he asked me like you know any real estate? Yeah, I know some real estate, man. So he's getting hooked up with the Live Love Group, and he don't even know how lucky he is because they're gonna help him and they'll help you, regardless of what you're interested in, whether you're looking to buy or sell. They are the best team in town, and they're gonna help you sell your home for the most money. They're gonna take you through the entire process, be straightforward and transparent throughout the entire way, so that everybody's happy at the end. But you got to reach out, soldelivelovememphis.com.
You can even speak Spanish or Mandarin. Well, I don't have to just speak English. They can speak it all over at the Live Love team. And that's, John said the key word, they're a team. That's what makes them so fantastic. Not one person can't get it all done. Jennifer Carstensen, as great as she is, and she's the one that's founded this team and developed it. It takes the whole crew. It takes an entire team, and that's why they're so good at what they do. Give them a call. Let them show you how good they are. 901-625-5200. Again, 901-625-5200. It is the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the real estate agency.
This is kind of random, but I just saw, Peter Schrager has this show now on ESPN, and it's like a podcast or whatever. And Sean Payton told this story, which is just so interesting to think about, that he was about to be the head coach of the Raiders in 2003. He had met with Al. He had done all the things. He was going to do it. He was on this family vacation, though. And it had 3 days left, and he promised the Cowboys, which is where he was at that time. He promised the Cowboys that he would, give them the end of the vacation and time to figure it out. Well, Al wants to finish it before the vacation is over. He wants to get it done because he doesn't want any shenanigans with the Cowboys and Jerry Jones. Well, Sean Payton tells Al, "I know you want to speak this up. I know you want to get this done, but I promised the Dallas Cowboys organization, who he was with at that time, that I would finish this vacation and get back and talk to them before I did anything." Well, he says, long story short, Jerry Jones sends a car to my house when I get back. I go to Jerry Jones' house. And the moral of the story is that if Jerry Jones is the last person you see, you're staying in Dallas. But that apparently wasn't true for Micah.
Right.
It maybe
'Cause
was true for Sean Payton back then. But, it's just one of those. Now, again, 2003, I don't know how Sean Payton would have been, right? Who knows? He didn't get the job with New Orleans until 2006. So it's hard to know how, sometimes guys aren't ready, right? Like it maybe takes a tenure. Like Bill Belichick was the coach of the Browns. Sometimes it takes a failure, but it would have been nice to see. I think we ended up hiring was it Lane Kiffin instead? I don't remember who or maybe we did the Art Shell thing in 2003 instead. But yeah, it would have been nice, man. It would have been nice to have old Sean Payton, Who, by the way, I mean, he opens his season with the Titans in week one. And they're the most popular pick of the week, it seems like, the Denver Broncos over the Titans. And I'm not so sure, Jason.
Everybody's all in. Now that he's moved on from Russ and showed what he did last year with Bo Nix, man. I think folks think he is indeed the genius that he, you know, appeared to be in New Orleans. Now, a lot of that, I mean, you had an Hall of Famer as your quarterback, Drew Brees. You can say a lot of his success is obviously connected to having Drew Brees, but there's no way Sean would have the reputation that he does among all the NFL folks if he wasn't as good as sort of advertised. And so I thought last year for me was it, right? When you could take Bo Nix and make it a successful offense, and I would say dumb it down. I mean, you have something different. You have a guy that's more athletic than Drew Brees, but he's more game manager too in that sense. And Sean adjusted. He adjusted his offense. And so he's shown it doesn't just have to have a Hall of Fame quarterback to get it done. And, you know, again, I'm a guy who looks now to Sean Payton as a guy who's proven it, has done it now through different systems, different organizations, and with different quarterbacks. So he's legit, man. If y'all had got him early, maybe you do. Would depend on who your quarterback is, but he probably would have found a way to win with him. No, he's that. Mm-hmm. He's Sean's a good one, man. No question. And he's got Denver on just about every list of teams to watch out for, dark horses. Everybody else has got them as not a team that's going to win that AFC West, but one that could do some damage in the playoffs because that defense. They may have the best defense in the league, you know, and he's an offensive guy.
Right. So. He's a sicko. There's no doubt about it. I kind of do just feel like the Titans can be scrappy in that game, though. I got like 8-point dogs. Like I don't know, man. I just feel like they can find a way to finish within that number.
They're not going to be able to run the ball. Would be my fear against Denver. So you're going to be asking Cam very early to make decisions against a defense that's going to be, you know, basically, you know, teasing. It's inviting him to throw the ball to beat them, because I'm guarantee you Denver's going to be great against the run. Tony Pollard's not that guy that's going to, you know, just go nuts against a defense like this. And I could just see it being a long day for Cam Ward and your opener. This could be the best defense in the NFL, this Denver defense. He could be throwing picks. I mean, we got, you know, that Denver defense is it'll win the game by itself. And so I don't know. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I like Cam. I still think he's going to have a good rookie season, but this is a tall order to start in. Thinking that you're not going to be able to run the ball. If they had Derrick Henry, different story, but they don't have that battering ram anymore.
You know? No, they don't. And
Tony Pollard ain't somebody you send it up in there 25 times.
They were so freaking bad last year, man. Now, again, Cam can come in there and change it all overnight. I mean, that does happen in the NFL more than people think. Like, finishing, going from worst to first happens more often than, you know, it doesn't always take 3 years to transform a team. And you were talking about a team that needed it more than any. I mean, I got it. You know, Titans probably were on that list. So I you know, I do. I think they can be scrappy, but they didn't show that at all last year. That's the, you know, risk there is that they were, you know, getting 14, 16, 17 and a half points a game, and they just constantly disappointed.
Well, C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels both turned their teams into immediate contenders year one.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't see Cam Ward doing that. That's to ask him to do. I don't think, frankly, and that's not a knock on him as much as it is what those teams have around, you know, what Tennessee has around Cam Ward. And then the plan that Washington had last year for Jaden Daniels, Houston ended up, you know, having some things that helped out. Now, I if he does, I'd be blown away. If we see that for a third consecutive year, you know, a guy come in and basically turn the whole thing around and make you a contender. That just you don't see that often and in consecutive years like this. And so I don't think it'll get to those heights, but I do expect him to be, you know, I expect him to be one of the better young quarterbacks in this league, you know, in a couple of years.
Yeah. So I'll definitely actually weirdly be interested in that game. It's just a 3:05 game. I think that's going to be one of the more interesting games of the week. I don't know if we have a lot of great ones, like just looking at the schedule.
Well, there's all kind of storylines in that Jets-Pittsburgh game. I know that people look at it and say, well, that ain't, you know, that's not two contenders, but think about
right.
it. Justin Fields playing his old team. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers playing his old team. I mean, the storylines in that one are endless. You know, it's not one of the marquee. It's not Ravens-Bills in terms of contenders battling it out, but it is storyline galore there. And everybody wants to get a look at, you know, what Aaron's going to look like in this Pittsburgh offense. Everybody said, Yeah, in that game, I was listening to a breakdown of it. It said, do not let DK Metcalf beat you. You're going to bracket him. You're going to do whatever else and make Aaron Rodgers throw it to somebody else. Well, I'm thinking, who's that somebody else that's going to be available? Hopefully, like a Calvin Austin. And so you just think about the increased opportunity for him with all the focus that's going to be on a guy like DK. I'm eager to see Calvin play with a Hall of Famer. So I'm slick really interested in that game, even though you would say you're not expecting much from those teams. But obviously more from Pittsburgh than the Jets.
Yeah. So you got that game. I'll let you have that one. I think Texans Rams could just be a random, like, it's obviously not division, not conference, not even like a Super Bowl preview or anything, but like CJ Stroud, Matt Stafford, like there's a lot of talent in that game. That should be fun. This new look Jaguars team, if you want to see that against Bryce Young. The rest of it's kind of like, I don't care about Bucks Falcons, like NFC South week one, whatever. I don't care about Bengals Browns. Dolphins Colts is two like 8-9 teams playing each other. Do the Giants like have a little bit of improvement in them this year, I guess, if you want to, but again, not really a game I'm super interested in. It's kind of a weak slate other than, the primetime games. Like all the primetime games are pretty good. Cowboys Eagles, we've seen a billion times. That number's out to 8.5. That should be a snoozer, really. Chiefs Chargers should be a lot of fun. Ravens Bills, obviously Sunday night, and then you guys on Monday. Those are the games, and they did a good job with those. But there's some filler in there. You could probably take a nap, at half of that noon slate, really, if you really wanted to.
You really think Cowboys ain't going to be able to score on the Eagles?
I don't know, man.
You said and it is an 8.5-point line, so Eagles going away, I could see. But you don't you think Dak Prescott ain't going to be able to put up points with those two receivers?
I just I don't know. I think he will. I just think, generally speaking, I'm not a huge fan of divisional games opening the season. Like, I just don't.
That's a different conversation.
So it'll bore me. It'll just bore me because it's like we see these teams play twice a year, every year. Give me like a real, opener, man. Give me like a Ravens Bills. I mean, Ravens Bills should kick this off.
Yeah.
The Ravens Bills should have kicked off the season on Thursday. Cowboys Eagles should have been the Sunday night game. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I got no problem with that.
Just because but again, they want their best game on Sunday because that's what they value. So In that regard, it matters more for Sunday night. But I mean, it's the kickoffs. It's the kickoff. So it needs to be, a day. I mean, it's 8.5 points. It's one of the bigger spreads of the week. I think it is the biggest spread of the week. It's tied. It's tied with Titans and Broncos.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's really the issue is that you put – now, they didn't know when they scheduled this that the Cowboys were going to freaking trade Micah Parsons. But it definitely takes some luster off of the whole thing for me is that I don't really expect a would I bet Philly 8.5 now? No. But obviously that they have just been swamped with money in the last week or so now that limits have gone up. So kind of tells you what the market expects of this game. Doesn't mean it always happens, but they're expecting the Philadelphia. I don't know if you saw Sirianni's comments, but he said he wasn't even aware that it was, ring night or whatever.
Oh no, I didn't. I didn't see that.
He says he said they're not even going to be out there for it.
Yeah, they've done a lot of that. That's last season. Don't call us the defending champs, all that stuff. I get the mentality he's trying to establish there, and in some ways respect it. I backed off Sirianni. He proved he's player's coach last year with that stuff he did with the fans. Those guys, it galvanized them. We laughed at it. We said this guy's not he's trying to control the uncontrollables. With fans, those players got behind him on that, man. So. I'm not going to question any of his tactics at this point. He's got that locker room. And in the end, it's still, it might be one-sided, but it's the defending champ against America's team. And you're going to have Cowboy fans might be down on this thing going into the year, but every one of them is going to be glued into this one. You're going to have all eyes on it. So, with the plan of defending champs, I get it. It's NFC East. You roll your eyes as an AFC West man, but it's we will be glued, bro. We always are when Dallas is playing, whether we want to admit it or not.
Yes. Yes. All right. We'll come back. Norton Hurd IV is going to join us. We'll talk to him about Memphis basketball, this Arkansas exhibition, John Calipari, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 China FM, ESPN.
Well, it's actually Wednesday at 1:25, and that means this man, Coach Norton Hurd, the fourth team THAAD program director and coach, joins us every Wednesday about this time. Civil Wave Media's top 100 most influential people in men's college basketball for 2025. He's a Mitchell High product and Walker Homes finest. You can follow him on X at Dream Big Hurd and on IG at I Am Coach Hurd. He also appears weekly on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Coach Hurd, did you get a chance to get down there and see your man Calipari yesterday?
I didn't. I was in the middle of some things, but it looked like a great situation. Everybody I knew that was part of it, and it looked like just a great another St. Jude thing that we're coming back with this year.
Doesn't it feel like, and I know for you this hasn't been an issue in a while, but like John and I have been talking about it all week long, and I've seen other writing columns. Like for those that still hold, right, harbor some ill will towards John or didn't like the way he left Memphis, you know, to talk to the recruits, took the recruits up there, isn't it, and I thought this was a great kind of time to bury the hatchet now that he's moved on from the program he left you from, and, you know, it's time to sort of remember those times and remember them finally and have Cal coming back. Isn't it hurt?
Yeah, I would say so. I would definitely say so. How many years have it been? It feels like I was really young when he first left.
2009 was his last year here. Tyreek, 08-09.
I was going to say it's been more than 9 years. So if you saying 09, sounds like maybe about 16 years, yep. Maybe.
Ain't been in the Sweet 16 since, Hurd. If you can believe it. It's true. No, I don't even say it as a joke. Like, unfortunately, it's true, you know?
Yeah, I would say it's time. You know, even in the – and, you know, we get – we have some pretty good examples on this show, whether it's you, whether it's John, whether it's Jeffrey. But even in the – and, you know, and we switch stuff up. But even in the dating world, and you can – y'all can look this up. When you leave somebody, they're not as mad anymore once you go on to somebody else next. Than who you left them for. You feel what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
You actually – have a better shot of becoming friends again. I think it's just that person always envy that first person you originally left them for. And so with that being said, I think it's just like this. I mean, Arkansas is a rival of ours, but nobody could ever set the game up. So I think the Arkansas stuff outside of that, you're just an older person, people don't even think about this. I don't think we have hate towards Arkansas, and I actually think that this is a step in the right direction because so many people do want to see Memphis and Arkansas ever get a game. I mean, it's been talked about forever, and hopefully this could lead to a regular season game one day.
Yep, that's John's hope, right, John?
Yeah, that's exactly where my hope is. I mean, why, if you're John Calipari, I'm kind of asking you to speak for him, but why would you not want to do it? Like, what would be the downsides to Memphis and Arkansas playing a home and home, Hurd?
I don't fully know. It's some unspoken rule that maybe John can do because it's a heavyweight game. Like I just, you know, I'm real with my listeners. When I was young in the game, a guy that I know that's very powerful, I was telling you, when I first started, I was just bumping into everybody. I didn't know college coaches Asian, but that's when I knew I was coming up because every corner I turned, I would bump into somebody who – you know, I wouldn't bump into them on purpose. It was like they wanted to bump into me and give me information. And so a guy, John and Jason, bumped into me one time and said, "Hey, Hurd, if you can help me, if anybody you know that can help get Memphis and Arkansas game together in Little Rock, it'll be the century of the world." You know, this was like and I'm like, wow, this must really be something serious. But if I'm Calipari, to answer your question, John, I don't know, unless he just want to kind of, I ain't going to say big time the word. I mean, it's almost like the closer SEC schools that already got a rep feel like they could be potentially, you know, I don't know, hurting themselves if they don't win. I mean, that's all I could really think about because I think it'd be good for everything else.
Did you ever have a guy that was, and I'm trying to think, I mean, I know Billy Donovan, I know, you know, a lot of those coaches you have relationships with because you sent Chioza to Florida and all that. How close were you, and you talk all the time, you're always sitting in Bill's self seat in his office, yep. That's how close you two are. What about you and Cal? What about you and Cal?
No, me and Cal is cool. I was there with Chioza as he was going to Florida. I didn't, send him there, but I was you know, there to help the, you know, the family with any needs. But, yeah, me and Kyle, cool. You know, every time he see me, you know, we chop it up. He, you know, all the coaches, especially the SEC coaches, you know, inviting me to practice all the time. They want me to come up a couple of days. It's just kind of really hard when you, you know, work too to be go everywhere. But, no, me and Kyle was good. You know, he wanted Jasper really, really, you know, Jasper really
That's
bad.
Right.
And
right.
he kind of did the groundwork for that, you know what I'm saying, to the point that, you know, we kind of thought Jasper was going to go to Arkansas, you know, but I just think with him being from Lexington, it was so much. So, no, me and Kyle always get every time he see me, he tell me he's proud of me. When he in front of a lot of other coaches, he was like, man, I remember him when he was just young and, man, to see where he's doing good things now. So, no, me and Kyle good. We're good. His staff, you know, cool with some of them. So it been all good with Kyle. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like, do you think, you know, obviously it's about the relationships with him, right? Like, you hear about former players, you know, what you just talked about. Like, I mean, isn't that – not that this is, like, Glaze Cal Day, but – it does just feel like whether it was his time at Memphis, you know, Kentucky, now at Arkansas, like one of the places that he's just always been elite in, probably maybe better than anybody in the country. Maybe Bill Self is number one for you, but you know, just developing and you know, nurturing those relationships, like it just feels like he's as good as anybody in the whole country at doing that.
No, he is, because I'm gonna be real. Memphis is a tough city, John. Not even. Answer your question, but flip it. But you know, even when people like really, really hated Kyle, now he took a few years off where he didn't come, but then he has snuck into town a lot over the years. And you know, to meet him first at Gibson Donut, and people still, you know, showed him love. It was really like a love hate thing, you know what I mean? I think, like, I'm not sure he came in town them first 2-3 years because I know it was just crazy, but. You know, just look at what he's doing now, John. Like, it's even considered big time to even, you know, come here and get the love from the city like he did. I don't think he could have had Kentucky to play Memphis and people would have been happy with him. You know what I mean? I don't think he's going to get booed or nothing on that day now because so much time has went by.
We've said, and it's a credit to Penny, you know, to be able to put together these non-conference schedules that he's done, like to get Scott Drew to come here, Baylor and everything, and he, you know, he's played SEC teams, you know, it's a credit to where you've built the program. We were talking about this with the Memphis women's soccer coach, Brooks Monaghan, earlier, just to make the comparison. You've built it up to a top 25 program, so when schools look at you, SEC schools, they don't say, well, that's not going to be a bad loss if we look to them. And Penny's built Memphis basketball up to that, so it does seem like it helps. But back to this, the idea of a home and home, you know, it could still be like if you're flipping an entire roster. I know Penny's trying to get away from that. We aren't too far removed from that team 2 years ago that ended up an absolute mess. And in that case, if it's going to be one of those Memphis teams, we're certainly not. I mean, God forbid we see that again, that Javon Quinley-led team. But if it is, that's where a loss to Memphis still does hurt in Arkansas, right? That's got all these opportunities in the SEC. If it's taking a loss to a Memphis team that's second in the AAC or ain't making the tournament, that's a damaging loss for them, no? I'm asking both of y'all on that. And are we so far removed where we think that can't be, you know, still a possibility?
I don't know. Like, didn't like, Memphis got the 5 seed, right, because they played that tough schedule and got rewarded?
Last year, yes. But what were they the year before that, John, is my point. I mean, last year you put the roster together, it's all new, and it works. But the year before, it didn't. And so if he's got you scheduled in a year where, hey, you've replaced the entire roster, but that chemistry looks like Javon Quinley chemistry, well, then that's a loss that can absolutely ding you, is all I'm saying.
Well, it just comes down to, like, to me, it comes down to, like, what do you think
he won't
Memphis
play
really is? Like, do you think Memphis is more like last year or like 2 years ago? And, you know, maybe it's somewhere in the middle. I think it probably is somewhere in the middle.
Although, they were a 5 seed, bro. We're used to 8-9 around here, right?
Right.
So last year was a little bit more of an outlier in terms of what we've seen around here lately.
Yeah. But in fairness to that 2 years ago team, they were number 10 in the country in January. I mean, they really had us all fooled.
like Jason did say, John, he said last year, and I mean, he said 2 years ago, and not last. What it come down to, me being a coach and me understanding the theory of coaches in the landscape, I think Memphis showed last year getting the 5th seed that they are respectable as any program in the nation when they have it rolling. But this is the side that the public is not going to see, y'all. I don't know if I'm making sense when I say this. Auburn and Alabama have both been top five in the country. Auburn and Alabama will play Memphis every day and twice on Sunday. It's not any real history or bad blood, or they don't feel a certain way. Scott Drew don't feel a certain way. Like, I feel like Kentucky, Arkansas, and Tennessee, for whatever reason, they going to be a little bit more strategic if they want to play Memphis for whatever reason, especially now Tennessee and Arkansas. For some reason, them are more elephants in the room. Memphis played Vanderbilt. It don't matter. You feel what I'm saying?
But no, I'm with you, Herd. And it's in Cal's case, it's still your former school. I know you're removed from, you know, a couple schools removed, but it's still losing to your former school. Whereas it ain't with Bruce, and it ain't with those other, and it ain't with right. You know what
Memphis
I'm saying?
Memphis played Missouri last year, first game. They could play Texas A&M. These things have expanded so much. Texas, it ain't, and them teams could be better than Arkansas. But it's like it's still certain, and it's a basketball thing. I can't really tell y'all the name, and it's on all levels: middle school, high school, college. You know, it's the NBA. It's the NBA. But it's certain things where, like, I think an Arkansas or a Tennessee fan will look at it like more a certain way. And then with Cal, as great as he is in life and what we all are learning in life on our level is, the bigger you get, it comes with so much more pressure. So Cal already got a lot of pressure. Right. And for him to, like, add on to it, I don't know. But I'm not with Jason. I'm going to be real with you. A big game like that, I wouldn't be with home and home in the same year. I would want a four-year deal, and you just rotate it back and forth, and you only play one of those games a year. I wouldn't be for two games in the same year.
Oh, yeah, home and home. We just mean one there, one. We just mean one a year.
Yeah, one there.
You ain't getting. You definitely ain't seeing that, too, you know, two times.
Okay. I think they need to play eight games next year.
Just let us in the SEC.
Like a series.
Yeah.
Like a seven-game series, let the best team win.
John was telling me that DJ's up to 9 on some new list. I know we had mentioned him being up to, 13 at ESPN, and we were trying to think of the last guy, not James Wiseman, the last guy raised here in Memphis, you know, to finish that high. I think he told me Kenny Chandler was just outside. We mentioned one more name, didn't it, John, that was close, but then it goes back to Adonis?
It was Kennedy Chandler, Adonis.
Adonis was actually within the top 10, though, right, John?
But y'all skipping too far now because, like, at one point, LaRon Black was top 10. He was 9 in the country.
Well, we're using finished, Herd.
Let me ask y'all this. My bad if I cut anybody off. You had Jarnell Stokes.
Jarnell was before Adonis, right?
Jarnell, after Adonis, like, I think, 11, Stokes like 12, maybe.
Jarnell was 12, yeah.
Yep, you're right, Herd, as usual. Yep.
Let me say this to y'all.
Was the last guy.
Yeah, let me say this to y'all. And this is all respect for DJ because he was with my program. Love his mom, love his dad, love his stepdaddy. The question is a little tricky because this is why I say this. And first of all, before I say that, y'all do a great job with questions, right? So you're asking me who finished that, but then we're talking about a kid who – he started here, so he is just the first record. You see what I'm saying? And so it's like I can name a lot of kids.
Because he hasn't finished. Yeah, it's not over.
Yeah, I can name a lot of kids. It's a first record that started there. Like, I don't know if y'all remember, like, T.J. Moss started in the top 25 his 9th grade year. We can go on and on and on. So the way the question is presented, we're talking about finishing, but we're not even – the example is not a finisher, and I'm not going back and forth with y'all on that. That's why I'm just trying to get a – you get what I'm saying?
I think it's a great point.
That's a fair point, but this dude's got a 6'10", 6'11" wingspan, Herd. And the quick twitch.
Jason is saying he believes he will finish where he's at. In the top 10.
You tell me. I mean, with the last 2 years, a guy like him going to be at Tennessee Collegiate Academy, going to be at Montverde, going to be, you know, something like that as opposed to, right? And that will be more development. That'll be a nationally ranked schedule that you're playing. And the kid could, you know, theoretically get better. I hear you make a good point, Herd. He may not finish top 10.
I'm not saying either. I'm going by y'all question. I love DJ. That's one. I think he will maybe finish at a national prep school, but they do a great job at Bartlett, too. So let me say that because I have to see all these people and have a relationship with all these people, right? And I do think – see, this is the thing about even going to – Tennessee Collegiate, Mount Vernon, playing in the EYBL. Yes, he could jump you up to number one in the country. But the other thing, too, Jason and John, it's a two-way street, too. When you always playing the best competition, it can you must stay on top of your game, too, right? Everybody's not built, even though you're getting more ready for some of them schools. It's some top 10, top 20 kids that stay at their regular schools because you get a few nights off, right, and you get the average 40 more, right? And so it could somewhat look good for your marketing. So I definitely think DJ would have a chance to end his career as a five-star. Me personally, I'm not good enough as an evaluator to say like a guy that's in 19th grade go stay in the top 10 the whole time just because that stuff gets so tricky and so many kids constantly develop as time go on and people come out the woodwork and people have growth spurts, right? So I don't want to say that, but I will say he's a hard worker. I think he'll just be fine. I think the 28 class is going to serve Memphis great anyway.
Oh, yeah.
With DJ, with Bray, Josh Huggins, over there at Briarcrest that just moved from Nashville. Unbelievable, you know, score. I think he's a potential five-star kid. I think Bray would always be, whether somebody worried about his height or not, he would always be one of the best point guards in the country just because of his, you know, his mindset, his decision, making his will to go. I might even be missing a couple people, Rod and Alton, but that 28 class is really good in this state, and DJ is at the head of it right now, and I think he will remain high. I just don't know how high. I think it's still early.
Yeah, I'm glad because you know what? It does matter where you finish. I mean, Karan Iverson was like the number one player in the country in middle school. Who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, like he ended up being like a average basketball player.
Y'all boy Antoine Jones, who at one time was one of the highest
shooting guards. Yeah, Antoine Jones, great call. Yeah, he's still playing college basketball.
Man, he's still playing.
Yeah, so, and you know, it's more them people we can name than the others. That's why I try not to
really speak on kids too early. They got there and stayed there.
But let me throw one more at you, though. In the case of Adonis, in the case of Jarnell specifically, those two players ended up kind of being tweeners, right? I mean, Jarnell was sort of a mix between a four and a five. He couldn't hold centers that were big and tall at 7 feet because he wasn't long enough and that maybe not quick enough. And then whereas Adonis was seemingly that – you know, that small forward body, but a guy that more, you know, was worked on the perimeter, wasn't necessarily a great rebounder. And I wonder if that sort of caught them in terms of where they finished because they were sort of tweener in positionally, especially in terms of the NBA.
So what I always tell people, Jason, is it's easy. Like, I hear people all the time, they'll say, like, Kendi was a great point guard, right? And when he was coming up, people would – he's better than Joe. He's better than that person. It's always easy to say the guy that's coming up is better than the other guy because you know how the other guy's story
is. We did it with each Lawson. I'm with you 100%. I did it with each Lawson, said this one's going to be the next one, the better one. Right.
Yeah,
I'm with
you. So because you know how everybody's story in it. I would tell people, if you go by stats and everything, like I don't care what point guard come out of here and what they rating is, most of them are not better than Joe Jackson. It's just that we already know Joe – what he did in college or what he's doing now, and we sometimes don't evaluate within the moment, right? And so in the moment, you know, I can't just practically say no kid in high school right now, although they rank her, was better than Adonis. You know what I'm saying? Tweener or not, you know what I'm saying? He produced.
That's true in high school.
He had a high ceiling, and the only reason we saying now it didn't work because it didn't work. But the people thought it was at the time because they kept him in the top 15. He was a McDonald's All-American. So was Joe. So when they do guys like that, they think those are NBA guys.
No, they did. And if they hadn't been the rule, he could have gone straight in based on his body. They loved him that much back then. You're right. No, and good call by you. I mean, it does change. You can't compare these things as if they're apples to apples when you've got a finished product that's done. We know the story, and you're trying to say this one's going to be better. He hasn't accomplished what the other one did at that level yet. So. No, it's a fair point, and it's tough to do to compare. But DJ certainly looks like a guy that's got that
potential.
Look
great, and I do want to say this, but if we want to talk about guys that even has reached five-star in the last 3 years, I think that's a fun argument. And you got Kennedy, and you got – I don't know if y'all remember at one point the 2019 class in Memphis, when they was DJ age, had three, four, five stars out of Tennessee. You had Wiseman was like a top three. DJ was top 10. Chandler was top 15, top 20. And it was some other kid. It was four of them in that 2019 class that were five stars at one point out of Tennessee. That was a big class at one point. So what DJ doing now, the DJ Oak, not DJ, it's still big time because it ain't too many people that ever reach five star, you know, within, you know, any of their grades, right? And so that's big. That's big.
Appreciate you, Hurt, always, brother.
Yes, sir.
You're the best, man.
Yes,
thanks for the time, as always.
Yes, sir.
Yep, he is Norton Hurd, the fourth. We'll come back, wrap this up here on a Wednesday. Jason and John, how do you turn to him? Leaders Credit Union is your financial champion. They make it really easy. Whatever it is, whatever your financial needs may be, you want to buy a new car, but you don't know where to start, Leaders Credit Union is here to help. They make the car buying experience a breeze. They make that loan process super simple and the entire car buying process less stressful by working with Leaders Credit Union and getting that nice rate. They also will work with you on a HELOC, right? I'm going through that process right now, and they've been super easy to work with. They take you through everything you're going to have to, you know, shoot over to them in terms of the documents, make it super easy, gives you a great promo rate if you qualify. They are the best. They are your financial champion. Make sure you visit them. Leaders is your financial champion for life, federally insured by the NCUA. Visit leaderscu.com/ESPN to get started. We're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's just one of those kind of awkward days. It's the last night before NFL football, Jason. This is the last, you know, Wednesday without football for, 6 months or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Like 4 to 5, four months.
Well, our in-house fantasy draft being tonight, sort of, right on the precipice of NFL football reminds us of that. Let's not forget, though, we got college football season is off and underway, and we're not just turning the page on it just because we're here with NFL as well. So you, now, yes, you have variety in your football. You have choices. We're glad we're here. It's a great time of year. But yeah, man, I'm that South Florida game. I'm tuned in, boy. Memphis, Georgia State. Michigan's got somebody this week. Oklahoma, I believe it is. So
yeah.
Whether it's NFL football or college football, just glad now we're immersed in it. It's all around us, right? No more speculating, talking about what's going to happen. We're talking about what happened.
Yeah, I'm just more of an NFL fan, like, than college. I love both. You know, I certainly can sit down and watch a college football game, but.
Which is bigger here, y'all? I wonder that. Which is bigger?
College, because there's no NFL team.
Yeah.
But if an NFL team was here, it would be the NFL.
Yeah.
Because the NFL is a black hole.
And because you have so many Tennessee grads, so many
SEC.
Ole Miss grads, yeah. So you're in the SEC's footprint. You're right in the middle of it. It's always going to be big.
I think you're right.
College football is here. You know, having the Titans just 200 miles away. I mean, we got a ton of Titans fans.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, you know, maybe not here on this show necessarily, but there's tons. I just think this is what this is our, you know, our heritage, how we came up in terms
for
of
sure. It,
so I don't know. It feels like to me still college football town.
College, yeah.
Probably I'd say in the end. You think that's right, John? No, you prefer NFL, but it's college
yeah,
football.
Yeah, I think
town.
It's a college football town versus NFL. Right. But again, just because we don't have. I mean, like Nashville, right? They have a college football team in Nashville. They don't care about Vanderbilt there.
They carry the Tennessee Vols on their big sports station in Nashville, just like us.
I think Nashville's just a sports town now. I think it's above all else, it'd be Titans. Like if you like,
oh no doubt.
You know, I mean that's what drives them. You know, the bus there.
Yeah.
Just like if you know, I mean the Grizzlies drive the bus in Memphis because we have the pro team. Whatever your pro team is, it's going to take precedence. That's why everybody was so flabbergasted 15 years ago when the Grizzlies existed here, but they played second fiddle. People didn't understand that. It's like how can the college team be bigger than the pro team? Back then it was, obviously not anymore. But most places that's the way it goes. College is second, but. Yeah, I mean, here we don't have an NFL team. We have a lot of split allegiances, so most people are going to, you have SEC fan bases all around. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people prefer college, but it's close. I mean, and I just think the TV product is just so much better than NFL. People may disagree with me on that, but would I rather watch the average NFL game or the average college football game? It's not even close.
it'd be NFL for me.
Yeah.
Not even close.
I mean, they know they're a machine. They're a monster. They know how to present it. They're the best at it. And so, of course, I mean,
and they're all pros. Like, you know, you see these guys. There's not that many pros in college football, relatively speaking. You know, you have a few, but you know, by and large, you're watching second rate players, just on the whole. You know, whereas in the NFL, you're watching the best in the sport. So.
Sounds like, you know, a man who's ready to bet on the pros way, as opposed to the college kids. He's ready to move on and bet on the pros.
Yeah. That's right.
You're ready to shift gears, here, man. Yes.
No fun for me. No fun for me, these damn kids in the first weekend. So, anyway, yes, we'll have action starting tomorrow, Thursday, 7:20 on NBC and Peacock. It will be the Cowboys taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. That is going to do it for us today here on the show. Thanks to Brooks Monaghan for joining us. Big game for them tomorrow. You could hear it in his voice how excited he is. Thanks to Brooks for joining us on the show. Thanks to Norton Heard the Fourth as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. But thanks for being with us. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.